Hey, Ben, GeekCon's on. We gotta get in there.
Let's do this thing.
Get in there.
So I'm Ben Heckendorn, who, you know, builds portable things and whatnot.
I'm Jason Jones. I'm just Ben's friend, and I've been through the independent filmmaking wars with him to some extent, so.
I remember back in the big battle, off three, took down that Sherman tank and filmed it. It was quite the adventure.
That's right.
But then
I've been doing this for a little over a year now, I guess, doing the podcast.
Why don't you tell the story? Remember that one day all of a sudden I woke up, I want to do a podcast.
Yeah, it's like, you should do one for, like you said that I should do one for my site.
With Dale.
Yeah, and then you're kind of like, wait a minute, I've got a microphone. So then we just started doing it. And,
yep.
So we have pretty much the same interests, video games and technology and movies and all that, so that's pretty much what we generally talk about. So.
And I figured if I put it on my site, people would probably listen to it.
And they seem to, still.
Yeah, despite the fact that we rip on everything, sometimes some things more than others, people still listen. So, it's fun, and I like doing it because I had a panel earlier, and we were talking about, you know, doing things on the internet, and I always just get asked about my stuff all the time. And it's like, I like to talk about games or things I find interesting. So that's the podcast is my outlet for that. So that's why I enjoy doing it. That's my tank.
And I just like to talk. Most people don't even want to talk about crap I want to. So.
Well, I think it's cool. Although I am looking forward to our Mysteries of the Unexplained podcast, which I believe is going to be the next one.
I'm talking about crystal skulls.
Crystal skulls. Nazca lines, underwater pyramids.
That's right, because there's one in Wisconsin.
Allegedly, in Rock Lake. So, all right, well, we're basically just going to do like a little mini podcast, and we're going to just kind of sit here in a bubble and do our thing. Feel free to interject any time, because that's why we brought the camera, because we want it to be interesting. And by entering this room, you release us to use your image on the internet. Postscript.
Whether you knew that or not.
Oh, well, we don't make any money off of it, so don't worry about it. Well, not directly. Okay, well, Jones, welcome to our podcast.
Yeah. Which episode is it?
30.
Jesus.
The peanut gallery steamed.
The camera person is even impressed. Well, what are some news items for the gaming recent news?
Actually, one thing I was looking around, like every week, I'm always out on this site called GameSpot.com, some big video gamer, and they had an article, and they said that Halo 3 actually topped the sales charts in Japan for the week it came out.
How could that be?
I don't know, like you said here, hell froze over because the 360 is very unsuccessful in Japan, and so it kind of speaks to how popular Halo 3 is that probably damn near everybody in Japan that owns a 360.
So five people.
Yes. So that's kind of a big deal, though, because Microsoft's been trying really hard to get into that market.
Well, if you know when you go into Halo and it's got that map, and shows like little dots of who's playing it around the world. You see some dots in Japan.
Yeah.
A few.
Yeah, it's like, you know, 10,000 out of the 700,000 that are on.
Actually, with the Halo, in Japan, a lot of those numbers could probably be skewed because a lot of people from South Korea get their Xbox games from Japan.
Ah, so it's locked in with that then.
And the Xbox is actually kind of popular in South Korea.
Oh, really?
I wonder why that's interesting. In Japan they just hate it. I mean, we buy their stuff.
Yeah,
true. I mean, you could go on a whole tirade about this and cars and stuff. You probably shouldn't.
And get uber political. But we won't.
But we won't. But I don't know. I mean, they like our movies, you know.
That's like apparently a big export. So, well, the one thing they always say is that, like, you know, with the Xbox, they don't make the games supposedly that they like over there. So they've got a lot of RPGs and things like that. But then, you know, Halo 3, which is just a first-person shooter, it comes out and it tops the sales charts. So, I don't know, it's kind of like, what does that tell us?
See, I can understand
that. They got bored of pressing X.
What's that?
They got bored of pressing X.
They're like, I've got all these other buttons on the controller. What do I do with them?
They're all covered with dust. I don't know what's going on.
So that was kind of a big deal.
Yeah, that's neat. I mean, obviously it's a big game. I don't think it's as good as BioShock.
And no.
When end of the year comes, they start talking about, like, what game was really awesome? And single-player campaign, Halo 3, I thought was just fairly derivative. It's like usual, get in there, Marine!
Yeah.
You know, jumping warthogs. It's fun.
With, like, co-op.
Actually, the four of us. Well, three.
Plus roommate Dave.
Oh, Dave, that's who it was. I've been playing through Legendary, and that's actually fun, but going through in single player is not really that fun, but online's fun. We're actually going to talk about Halo
later on.
Our exciting tales of Halo 3. So, well, speaking of that, look at this breakup. Microsoft and Bungie have called it quits. I mean, it's obviously, hell is frozen over again.
Yeah, it's pretty, it sounded like it was a pretty amicable split, though. Like, Bungie kind of wants to go more independent, and it sounds like Microsoft still retains all the rights to Halo properties.
But I thought the fight was finished.
I don't know, after $300 million in sales,
you know, the end?
I think there's more to be found, so.
Well, yeah, got
the RTS. Halo Wars team coming out, so. Which could be cool. I like those RTS games, so I'll probably give that a shot.
Does that come out this fall along with all the 80,000
games? Next year, thank goodness.
You realize we're like almost halfway through this deluge of games.
Yeah. So. And hello. It's not getting any cheaper.
Rock Band, though. I'm going to get in there. We're going to have our big Rock Band online.
That's true.
Jones is a big guitar hero, dude.
Yeah. Although I'm not that good at it, so.
Better than me, I suck.
I can barely survive the first few songs on hard, so.
What about Freebird?
I 5-starred that on Medium.
Oh, really?
So I was proud of myself, but.
I saw my sister's playing the other day. She must have wrested the Xbox away from Jason and Halo.
Maybe she broke the disc in half.
I told you about that, the Wi-Fi adapter that I bought. Some guy emailed me, he's like, hey, I got a really cheap Xbox 360 Wi-Fi adapter. And I'm like, all right, it's like $60. And he sent it to me, he's like, yeah, the cable's been cut. And so I had there's a little bit of cable on it where it plugs into the USB port and been cut. And I'm like, okay, it's cheap. And I'm like, wife. That was the only he's probably on online 24/7 and the scissors came out. I mean,
well, I had a similar thing with on Craigslist a couple months ago. I saw somebody was selling.
What, Leticia cut your Wi-Fi?
No,
don't bring me in on this. Come on now.
It could be worse. That. It could have been like Lorena Bobbitt. I mean, there's worse things you get cut than the Wi-Fi.
Seriously, I'm not this bad.
I guess I'll count my blessings.
But there was, like, on Craigslist, there was somebody selling both Draw games for the 360 for $25 total. And so you can't even buy the second one used for that yet. I got in there right away and bought it and go over there, and it's this woman with a couple of kids, and she's like, yeah, my husband was playing the 360 way too much with my brother-in-law, and so it had to go. So it sounded like she was just selling off all the stuff, so. You know, one man's loss was my gain, so.
Well, everything in moderation, I guess.
Yeah. Kind of speaks to how addictive the Xbox can get, though.
Well,
which is one of its few drawbacks, so.
Yeah. Well, okay, well, also in some news items, there's a new PS3 model. Yet again, it's been, like, what, 2 weeks, so new PS3 model. And it has 40 gigs, but apparently no backwards compatibility.
Yeah, which. You got to show me that article, because I haven't seen that. Because they said they were going to do it through software, like they are on the 360. But unless they change their tube, maybe somebody's
really
getting even
know.
Cheaper.
Apparently, what their graphics processor had all sorts of, on the PS2, had all these weird things in it. And basically, the only way to replicate it is with a hardware. The PS3s originally would have the graphics processor of the PS2 in it, but they would emulate the processor with software. But I don't know.
Now they can't do that.
It's kind of a partial hardware emulation. Yeah, I mean,
and
that's
going to be $400, I guess, too.
Well,
so
I know.
It's kind of hitting right in the middle of the 360s lineup.
We talked about this a little bit in my earlier thing, but, you know, there's really not many games for the PS3, and people rip on it, but it actually is a very open system. You can plug anything you really want to, like zucchinis, mice, anything, or put in your own hard drive. So compared to the Xbox 360, where you're paying $100 for a freaking Wi-Fi dongle,
yeah,
it has some advantages. But I think like Grand Theft Auto 4 not coming out this fall, if anybody heard the PS3, because that's, what else did they have? Layer? And Grand Theft
Auto, nobody's seen the light.
Yeah, but Microsoft's like, oh no, I guess we get this Halo game you can release.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a fact.
Yeah, one more news item that you brought up. It's a Wii related.
Yeah.
Speaking of online.
And speaking of Guitar Hero and that sort of thing too, is that it's not going to have online. And that was from the co-founder of Red Octane himself who said that. So.
But I thought Guitar Hero was going to be done by Neversoft now, part 3. Yeah. Oh wait, Red Octane
2 and Guitar Hero. I think Neversoft's one too and Rock Band, aren't they?
Yeah, no. No, actually,
I can't keep
Harmonix.
Well,
somebody said it, right?
Okay. But he says that they're working with Nintendo on it, but it's been a slow process, and maybe it will show up later on with it.
Yeah.
But they're trying to have downloadable content at launch, so of course, they're making
it. So they'll sell you something, but you don't get to play online. Yeah, I mean,
take functionality away and charge you more money.
If you've heard our podcast, you probably know how we feel on that system, but it's. I like to get a game system. I don't like just give Nintendo as much money as possible. I mean, I do enough of that at the gas pump, right?
Yeah.
Of course, I gouge people for prices because demand outreaches supply, but
yeah,
I can't talk
man,
that
so.
Much. Yeah. Well, I've taken apart the Wii.
Yeah.
There's nothing in it. There is no excuse for these shortages, except for the longer they make it, you can't find it, that makes it, you got to have
an in-demand product. Yeah.
My mom, I talked to her, she called me, she's like, "Hi, Ben, are you good? I never hear from you." And then she's like, "I want a Wii." And I thought, oh, maybe I'll buy her one for Christmas. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. The irony would be so severe. But maybe, because she'd like it.
You'd be enabling your mother.
You know what it was? Everybody, you and me both, everybody kicks my ass at Wii bowling. Dale beat me at it. My mom, my stepdad, my sister, because I, over Christmas we played it.
If I were Dale,
it's terrible.
Dale whipped you and me in it.
Oh,
Dale's
yeah.
Like totally non-video game.
And he's not, but he's not a really good bowler either. He'd be like 90.
Yeah,
RL.
Yeah. But so maybe there is something to the casual gamer.
Maybe that's, we're just too hardcore and we're impressed by it.
All
right, well, having gotten that news item out of the way, we're doing fine. See, we're on our usual schedule.
Were you going to talk about your stuff here?
I don't really want to.
Okay.
Well,
I can save it for later.
If you guys want to ask me questions later, but this thing's looking pretty sharp, though. I'm pretty happy with it.
It turned out pretty good.
Yeah.
The end.
Are you tired of papasans, which can be hazardous to downright dangerous? Well then, perhaps you should consider the Sumo Lounge Omni Beanbag Chair. They were kind enough to send us one for consideration, and here I am, playing Halo 3 and racking up massive scores thanks to the increased comfort and ergonomic stability of the Sumo Chair.
This is a mighty comfortable chair. I mean, it's like sitting on a whole bunch of feather pillows. It just squishes around, it's like it cuddles you.
Yes, but now I can play Halo and my other games with ease and safety using the Sumo Beanbag Chair. It's really comfortable and great for my back, because my back is kind of crappy. So yeah, check it out, and maybe you too can increase your gaming scores.
So let's go into our first main topic. This is kind of a geeky thing, since this is GeekCon. Jones and I are going to argue the merits of Alien versus Aliens. Because we thought we agreed too much on the podcast, so we should talk about something we don't agree with.
That's true.
Or don't agree about.
And these seem to be the two that people consider the best in the series, so people pretty much discount the other two. And
4 wasn't bad, but the end got really weird. All that slime and stuff. The Alien movie with the slime, that one.
Yeah.
Yes, but you are of the opinion that I just cannot fathom. That you're like, granted, it's a good movie, but I'm sorry, the second one I think is better.
Not so much.
Okay, think about this. Alright, you have Bill Paxton, for one.
Okay.
Sigourney Weaver duct taping machine guns to flamethrowers and getting nominated for an Oscar for it. I mean, that's gotta be worth something. Bill Paxton,
yeah.
James Cameron, lots of machine guns, and Lance Henriksen. And robots!
I'll give you the Lance Henriksen. That's pretty good.
So how can the first one compare? Tell me.
Well, it kind of boils down to taste, I think, too. Because even though they're in the same series, they're very different movies.
That's true.
Because Alien is more of, I call it more of a psychological thriller.
Wasn't Bilbo Baggins the bad guy in that?
Yeah, good old Ian Holm.
Yeah.
And where Aliens is almost more action.
Give me the ring, Sigourney Weaver!
And Aliens, and I'm going to lose any heat cred at all here, is that Aliens is kind of like the first Matrix movie for me. The more I watch it, the less I like it. I don't know what it is, because I loved The Matrix when I first saw it, but the more I watch that movie, it's like...
Well, you watch it like every weekend. You bought it on an HD video, didn't you?
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad, but I think it's completely overrated. But, and Aliens was that way, because that's the movie everybody said, oh, you've never seen an Alien movie, you got to see Aliens, because that's the best one.
You mean like back in the day?
Yeah, like 7, 8 years ago, because I'd never seen an Aliens
movie. Well, I do know I definitely saw the second one first, because I was probably like 12 or whatever.
But, I don't know, I mean, it's all right, but it's got all the crap with, like, the little girl. It's, like, this forced-in, you know, stuff where you have to, like, care because there's this little girl now. And the movie's, like, bloated because of it, because it goes, like, 20 minutes longer than any of the other movies. And you're Mr. Anti-2-hour-plus movie and everything. But Aliens goes to, like, 220, where the other ones all stay just under 2 hours, and...
Yeah, I guess the last 20 minutes are a bit superfluous because Bill Paxton is dead by that time.
And you guys...
But, I don't know, it's like, you know...
Do you ever notice all James Cameron movies end with someone pushing a button? Terminator, he pushes a button to switch the Terminator. Aliens, he pushes a button to open up and eject it out of the airlock.
Yeah.
Terminator 2, she pushes a button at the end. That wasn't...
Was there a button in Titanic, though?
There might have been, like, an elevator button. And his Avatar movie, whatever happens in it, it'd be like, die! And it was a button, remember, in, what was it, Abyss? He had buttons on his wrist.
Yeah.
Buttons everywhere.
True Lies, is there a button?
Yeah, he pushed a button and fired that missile.
That's
coincidence?
True. Yeah, he fired. It probably just comes down to my personal preference more than anything, and I would consider James Cameron a better filmmaker than Ridley Scott, because Scott's kind of overrated, but I like Alien a lot more just because it works on your head more, where Aliens is just kind of more putting it in your face.
The atmosphere is excellent, but I will
in the original.
I guess the stuff I don't like is the Alien itself. I mean, for one, there's that scene where Tom Skerritt, I believe it is, he's like looking around for the alien.
Yeah.
And he sees it, and the alien literally does this.
Yeah.
It's like Halloween or something. Yeah. I can't get behind that.
Well, you know, they...
And there was
at the time, I suppose, were a little lacking, but I don't know. No.
And then, like, slides across the screen at that woman.
Yeah.
You know, the other woman, not Sigourney Weaver, because obviously she lives. You know, it's just like this... It reminded me of that William Castle movie with House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah.
With, that's an awesome movie.
Well, that's probably part of the whole atmosphere thing and the psychological thriller aspect, because maybe they took it that direction out of necessity because of the, you know, puppet effects or the creature effects weren't up to snuff, so they couldn't show the alien.
Well, they spent a lot of money and time on the suit. Maybe they couldn't damage it. Maybe they
couldn't be.
Yeah,
but,
you know, Cameron says
you get the chest burster scene and all that stuff. Yeah, it's like,
I guess the aliens and aliens. We're like really cheap. I guess they actually had like vacuum cleaner parts like hot glued to them.
Okay.
Because he's like, it's more about motion than like the detail.
Yeah, but people don't notice that as much. Except for today with HD. I think the thing too with Alien is that the thing people forget about it a lot is if you look back before, we know that there's 4 movies and Sigourney Weaver's in all of them and whatever. If you go back to like 1979,
you wouldn't expect her to live in the
movie. Exactly. That kind
Tom Skerritt would have been the
hero for a female who can kick ass in a movie and take on that role, because she was just like a nobody at the time, and it was like this big shock.
Well, she was in Annie Hall for 5 seconds.
But I mean, Tom Skerritt's the big name, and you know, even John Hurt would be a bigger name. It had like Harry Dean Stanton and everything, and you know, these people keep getting picked off one by one, and eventually it's just the woman left. And that was like very revolutionary at the time. And, chain, you know,
because it was before the whole
endless Cameron can make Terminator in a way.
Terminator.
And Terminator 2.
How did that help him make Terminator?
Well, because it broke that mold where the female could be a strong character in the movie.
Oh, okay, I get it. Not just a woman to be had.
No, yeah, exactly. Not just, you know, window dressing like in a lot of movies these days, where it's just like we have to throw a woman in for a token reason instead of giving her something.
You know, that aborted
Hollywood's blame a lot of the time. So
the Roman Polanski Mount Vesuvius movie that got aborted. Pompeii, you know, he was going to make a big.
Yeah.
I mean, he must not realize it's 2007, not 1997. Like his big dumb 1970s era disaster movies are kind of over again.
Or whatever.
Anyway, I think it was in Dark Horizons, and they're talking about it. And like, yeah, I was going to star Orlando Bloom as a, you know, Peruvian architect or whatever. And then it said, and Scarlett Johansson as the piece of ass. And it's like, that pretty much is throw these women in. Yeah. They're just there to be women. And yeah, but yeah, a movie like Alien or Aliens, they actually get to kick ass.
Yeah.
And well then, but see, in Aliens, she's like, you know, a mother figure as well. And then if you get the special edition, which I have, you find out that her own daughter died while she was in cryostasis.
Yeah.
Then she woke up and kicked some ass.
I just like the first one more because it's more intimate. It's just these people on this ship. There's only like, you know, 7-8 people, and that's all it is.
That's true.
Where the second movie, it's like this, you know, big bloated production. You have all these marine guys involved and all that. Although I do like Michael Biehn in it.
Michael Biehn is like, he needs to be in more movies.
Yeah, he's sorely lacking in film these days. So
I love it in Terminator when she asks him a question. He says, "What?" Just like, I can't remember what scene it is, but that's exactly how he says it.
Yeah,
yeah, he's cool.
Yeah,
he was in Tombstone, the movie with everybody.
Yes, along with Bill Paxton.
Tombstone was like a quasi wannabe James Cameron movie. I mean, it was awesome, but I mean, it had so many people in it. Well, so did Near Dark. It was basically the cast of Aliens and the vampires.
Ben's a big Bill Paxton fan.
He's my favorite.
Paxton
actor.
Keeps coming up. So.
Well, same thing with William Shatner. I like him because he is what he is, and that's just what, you know, he doesn't give a crap. He just, he's a character actor. I mean, you know,
some niche.
Like Jack Nicholson's a character actor who gets Oscars for it. There's not a big difference, I don't think.
Yeah, he just plays Jack Nicholson most of the time. So.
Right. Well, you know, we could actually segue our next thing. We're going to talk about Halo 3. We could segue this a little bit.
Is that with a UE or a WAY?
I don't care. RE Halo. We've talked about the Halo movie.
Yes.
And I think it would be stupid to spend $200 million on it, which is what the budget was, I think. But speaking of aliens, in that genre, and it's a very tired genre in movies, you know. Oh, I'm sorry, in games, like Space Marines of the Future, because they're all like that, like Gears of War. Basically, it's the same game with different bad guys. Anyway, as far as the movie's concerned, the top grossing Space Marine movie was Aliens.
Really?
Even not inflation adjusted, like making like $95 million in 86. That's more than like Doom made or all this. So even if you take that inflation adjusting, maybe get up to like $150 million, being really generous, it still wouldn't support a $200 million Halo production.
Yeah.
So I just don't think the genre would support that kind of budget. Maybe if they did it for like $50
million. Yeah, they need to take it, you know, toward more of the Sin City angle where you kind of try to do it.
That's what the title of the
Gears is, you know, like $40 million. Although that thing's going off the rails now, too, I read the other day. The Gears movie.
Honestly, why do they need any of those movies? I mean, who cares? A Legend of Zelda movie would make crap loads of money. All this other stuff, don't even bother.
Yeah.
I'd even go see a Zelda movie.
Raiders made money, even though they suck.
Well, yeah, the second one was such a huge smash.
It made money, though.
I don't know.
The first one.
Actually, wasn't the first Tomb Raider the top-grossing movie starring a female action star since Aliens?
I believe it's probably. So.
You know, any movie comes out, they figure out some staff for it.
Some way to
it's
say
just like
it's the number one of this all
it's
time.
Like, yeah, well, the Packers haven't lost four consecutive home games when Brett Favre threw two touchdown passes. You always change one little statistic.
Change
one little statistic, and then you can have, oh, well, everything's okay now.
Yeah, he's undefeated tonight.
I'm surprised. He's getting kind of old. Yeah, what, he's like whopping like 39 or something?
38 or something, yeah.
He's obviously a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
He should just go home, I guess.
So he got like, what was it, like record completed...
Touchdown.
So how is his interception record?
Talk about sports on
how's his interception record going? He's got to be
he's
up there
like
on
two
that.
Or three away from that. So he's going to set the touchdown and interception record
in the same season or the same game. Okay.
Or Brett.
I haven't really cared about the Packers since they went to the Super Bowl.
So, you fair weather fan, you.
I am. Anyway. Well,
that's
you know.
Your segue into Halo. It's Brett Favre.
Makes sense.
Is
okay.
Brett Favre Master Chief? Is that what we're...
Brett Favre is
Master Chief.
They never like, take his helmet
here,
off. See,
catch this gun! And then, like, a brute catches it instead. No!
If you only do one thing this summer...
Get in there.
Okay, well, so now we're going to talk about Halo 3. Were there topics? We're kind of trying to make them somewhat personal. So we talk about us playing Halo 3. We talk about how we feel about aliens.
Yeah.
Rather than talking about, like, you know... third-party things, just because here we are, and that's our justification or reason for this. So, Halo 3, have you used the Forge yet? Not Jordy LaForge.
No.
I had to say that.
I opened it up one day, and then I think we jumped into Legendary on co-op, so I never got to look at it really. But I played that one map that you made, and
it was
pretty
fun.
Cool. So.
A friend of mine, Dave and I, figured out how to make a perpetual barrel launcher in the Halo 3. Well, you can take the map and you can put in objects. And you can't change the map geometry, but you can put in object weapons. So you can do quite a bit. Excuse me. Subway. Anyway, you take a grav lift. No, you set down a fusion coil, which, of course, if it's shot or falls, will explode. Set down the fusion coil, then you pull a grav lift and you slide it under it. So the barrel
grab lift will launch it.
Right, but you had to put the barrel down first, so the barrel's position is locked to that. It has to be like set down and not moving, so that's where it's going to respawn. Yeah, so you slide it under, it goes, explodes, and then respawns. That's a barrel launcher. Yeah. And then, you remember that Nero's map that has the man cannons, as you call it?
Hey, that's what they call it.
Yeah.
The man cannon.
So what I figured out, you can put barrel launchers, grav lift barrel launchers, right in front of the man cannon. So it goes, boom, then it hits the man cannon, so it flies all the way across the map. You set it up on either side, so the barrels do this.
Gets in the middle.
And then you put mongooses on either side, so you can... We should play this.
Yeah, we'll have to play that.
The mongooses, you can jump the mongooses. And you can actually jump off the mongoose and onto the middle section.
Oh.
Sometimes
indeed.
You fall to your death.
Well, yeah.
But
you're gonna have that.
If you let the mongoose go, the mongoose will also perpetually just go back and forth.
Wow.
Yeah, until the barrels knock it off. So it's a pretty wild map. Then you fill up the middle pathway with fusion coils. So you shoot
then
one,
you
it's
can
like,
shoot
boom!
Take out like five people at once.
But it's a lot of fun. And you can upload your maps to your file share.
Yeah.
And
other people can use them if they want.
But I think the online on that looks so great. It just like covers so many bases of like where other games have failed.
Yeah, it totally like took the bar from like here and went way up there for what online gaming can be, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm by no means a Halo fanatic or anything either. I never played 2 and barely played the first one, but the online in that game is just phenomenal. It's like everything around it is multiplayer focused. Like you can do the campaign multiplayer, you can do the Forge thing.
The solo game is almost like an afterthought.
Yeah, it's just like, I guess we need to have that, so we'll have it in there. But
right.
Even when you're... There's that feeder thing on there where you can watch videos of matches you played. You can even have people come into the lobby for that and watch those with you if you want.
Or you can even watch yourself editing the Ford map for an hour and a half.
Yeah. If you really
it
want
records
to.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, it records like everything you do. It's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
And so, the files are surprisingly small, but it spits out too.
Yeah.
I think I had like a 35-minute long match or something that was like an 8-meg file. And you can jump anywhere in the map, you can move the camera wherever you want, and just watch. Like, I can go and be like, what the heck was Ben doing for the first half of that map when I never saw him, you know, and I can...
Probably getting a beer.
Probably. You know, going to the can or something, you know.
You always got to remember to turn off the microphone.
Yes.
And I don't always remember.
Mute is your friend.
They grabbed the recording map thing from their Myth games. Have you ever played Myth?
No,
never played that.
Myth had that record feature, but it has to do with tags and stuff in the game. It'll pay attention to where you're moving.
Okay.
And then it'll just reconstruct everything.
Ah, so it just like programmatically keeps track of everything, so it keeps the file small.
So it doesn't have to actually create a movie.
Nice.
So it just basically plays the game for you, like an instant replay feature.
Like it loads it into the game engine basically and plays it back through that.
At least that's how Mint worked. And since it was a Bungie game, I'm assuming they did the same thing again.
Oh, nice.
That makes sense.
So like the only thing it's recording is zeros and ones instead of actual video.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why the
kind of
makes sense.
Some of the files are a little bigger. If it's like an hour and a half of play, like it should be somewhat.
Like that video of us going through on Legendary. Yeah. Or not Legendary. Oh, God. That stupid run with the warthogs and all the tiles were falling.
The very end, yeah.
And they had this thing, it looks like a jump. It's like, oh yeah, let's hit this jump, and then it leaves
there's
us like
oblivion.
Emptiness in front of it.
And I was like right at the end too. I was like, no!
It must have been Dave and Leticia were the other warthog.
Yeah.
And they were like, we can't go over this bump. What do we do? Let's jump out and go on foot. I think that's what happened. Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, so.
Great, now I want to beat Halo again. Get the achievements, beat it again for the first time.
Yeah,
well, you're going and getting all the skulls, right?
Yeah, I got all of them now, so. Some of those really suck.
So do you, like, try to complete all the achievements on games if possible? Or just try to do...
If possible, like, within reason, because there's some that are just ridiculous to try to get. And
Halo gives you a lot of achievement points, I think.
Yeah, they're pretty... Like, Halo 3 is probably pretty average as far as the difficulty for getting the achievements. There's some where they're, like, next to impossible to get.
Well, like, if you beat it on Legendary, we get, like, 250, because you get the heroic and the legendary. So I think that'll be like the most points you've ever gotten for a single game.
Yeah.
So you have to be in a ranked match to get the Bash achievement, is that correct?
Yep. Okay. So it'll tell you right on the achievement what you need to do. But yeah, it's, you gotta be in a ranked playlist.
Is it five per round or three?
Five.
I could do that easily. Although I was telling Jones earlier, whenever possible is you get a Bash.
Yeah.
Stick it with grenades. Worst possible kill. Always what you have to go for.
They have no teabagging achievements, though.
They should!
I thought that was a secret achievement. Is that a lie?
No, I think I would have earned it by now. Yeah, when I get in there, I started getting negative feedback once I started playing Halo, because I, whenever possible, they have to know they've been beaten. That's fun. But what I really love about Halo, and you're probably talking about this in the last podcast, but like two people can play on one console and go online. You see a lot of that, you know, like Jar Jar's God, the Jar Jar's God bracket one.
Yeah.
And it's great because you get to play with friends and play them both online. It's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
I miss the old GoldenEye days, you know, like yelling for people.
Yeah.
And this online stuff, it kind of gets people away from it. You've gone from like hanging out with your friends and spilling beer on the carpet to like, you know, but it's good that this kind of.
Like we've talked about before, you know, but it's part of that too. Is, you know, when you get older, it's harder to get all your buddies together in one place. Because you might move away or whatever in this way. You know, we can get on there and just go like in the legendary thing. Me and my wife were playing on our 360, and then you and Dave were playing on your 360, and we're all in the same match playing online. And it was pretty smooth for the most part.
Yeah, it was a little clunky. Who's that guy, Crash Override, we were playing?
Yeah. And it got a little chunky a couple of times, but not too bad, really.
Most of the time it's pretty smooth.
Yeah. I guess that's a really neat feature that it was nice that they incorporated that. So it's not like, oh, I gotta go buy another 360 so my wife can play this game.
I know,
you buy another copy of it. And, you know, it's a very cool feature. So.
Cool.
Hopefully more games follow.
I hope the audio shows up at this distance.
Yes. It probably won't.
Yeah, and they'll be like, can you read lips? You're going to love this podcast.
<It'll be> awesome.
yeah, well, do you want to move on? And our screen names, in case you didn't know, I'm Ben Heck, believe it or not.
And I am Jar Jar is God.
There's another argument.
Yes, that's true. We should debate that sometime.
I think Darth Maul, though, is lamer than Jar Jar. Because he's just kind of there.
Well,
Jar Jar, at least
Jar
Jar's
not even lame. He's kicks ass.
Jar Jar's not lame, he's offensive.
There's a whole other topic.
He's going to start the Empire!
Darth Maul, at least, keeps his mouth shut.
That's true.
Yeah.
See, the story behind my screen name, though, it's kind of funny. On the original
this
Xbox...
This ought to be good.
Yeah. On the original Xbox, I had I can't remember what the name was, but I let it lapse or whatever, and then I went to get on live again at some point, and somebody had taken the name, of course, in the meantime. And so I was like, well, I gotta pick something, and I went through like five names, they're all taken, and I'm like, you know, damn it, what the heck's a name nobody in the world would have? So I put in Jar Jar as God, and nobody had it. I actually like Jar Jar, so it's fitting. But that's how I got that screen name. So.
You have balls!
It's funny though, like, I'll go into matches sometimes and I can tell that people probably think I'm like a little 8-year-old kid or something. You know, until I start talking, and then they're like.
Now, 8-year-old oh, kid would say Jar Jar is cool.
I probably wouldn't throw like God.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of funny.
An 8-year-old playing Halo would probably throw down something like Jar Jar poems or something stupid like that.
And then they'd eat steak, you know, whatever it is.
And then they'd sing into the microphone. Maybe that's where they got the idea for the online rock press. You know, these people like to sing into their microphones online. Why don't we just give them that?
I read with that, too, to go way off topic again, with rock
video games are so off topic.
Yes. Is, I guess, like when you're playing online, you won't actually hear the vocalist.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm. So we won't have to hear a bunch of screeching American Idol cast-offs while we're playing, I guess, or something. I don't know, but apparently they decided not to do that. You'll only be able to see, like, the little chart going across the top and see how well they're doing, but you can't actually hear
them. I wonder if it's a bandwidth issue.
I would guess.
Well, I'm still going to get it, because
oh, yeah, why not? Just kick ass.
What else am I going to do with my money?
Yes, the 360 has kind of hooked you now.
Well,
you were kind of getting away from gaming a little in the past.
Yeah, because I was too busy building game things. The irony.
You fool.
But then I told Dalton, like, this year I'm going to play video games all year.
Yeah, and you're actually going way beyond what your stated goal was, too.
Yeah. The DS is fun, but I mean, I'll probably play it in the plane.
Yeah.
I don't really play it. I told you this. I was all about getting the DS. Like, oh, this is gonna be so cool. And then I bought it. I'm like, well, yeah. Play it on trips. Yeah. Then I was like, I don't know if I'm gonna get an Xbox. And you were like, get in there, as you always say.
For like a year, and then you finally did it.
And now I play it a lot.
Yeah.
So, oh well. I got a Core, and I just upgraded it with all the crap I had laying around.
Yeah.
So,
on the fun thing with. I think where I was going with this, but with Halo, was the interesting thing with that is neither one of us really planned on getting Halo 3 for the longest time. And then it was like, well,
the day of.
Everybody else is going to get it. You know, we know everybody's going to be online playing it. And it's very true. Whenever I go on Xbox Live, I'll have like 20 people online on my friends list, and like 18 of them are playing Halo 3.
Yeah, even still, it's about that kind of ratio.
But, you know, it's kind of funny because you're very skeptical of it, but. Now we're like, oh, it's pretty cool, actually.
I'm like skeptical. I just didn't care. I wasn't a fan, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to go to Radio Shack that day, and I'm like, well, Best Buy's right there. And then I waltzed in, you know, I'm like, well, I'm glad I didn't stand in line for this. I mean, I wouldn't have anyway, but because it's kind of sauntered in and bought it.
And then they tried to sell you a Wii when you were buying Halo 3.
Well, they tried to sell me everything funny. In the frickin' store.
Well, did they try to sell you an HD TV? Too?
No, but they tried to sell me a...
Best Buy does that all the time.
Xbox.
It's like, I have one already, I'm buying the game.
Yes, do the math. I have the game. I'm not just going to, you know, look at it. Oh, yeah.
Soon my plans for world domination will be complete. For not only do I have one Ford Escort station wagon, but in fact, I have...
Now you might ask, why would someone want to have two Ford Escort station wagons? But consider this: 37 mpg each. That's a total of 74 miles to the gallon. You do the math.
So does having the extra station wagon actually boost the MPG of the first station wagon?
Yes, it works through osmosis.
Real? How does that work?
Well, it uses a sophisticated pulley system. And what's this?
Quit avoiding the question!
Well, why don't we move on to our final topic, since this one might have some meat to it.
Yes.
As some of you may know, we did an independent film, or, well,
I've done
several, but a big one we did that took forever was Port Washington. Obviously, Jones was in the movie with me.
Port Sweat-a-ton, as we called it.
So we're going to talk about independent filmmaking and basically tell you why you shouldn't do it. Or, well, I guess
you have, like,
draw your own
an
conclusion.
An army, nerves of steel, an iron constitution, financial backing.
Yeah.
Wives.
Well, do you remember when we first started talking about, I guess we're just talking about Port Washington, the idea, it was a long time before we started the movie.
Pizza Hut was the first time I heard it.
Let me get straight, we talked about the movie idea of Pizza Hut.
Yes.
Next week we talked about one of Culver's.
Yes.
Culver's, the official restaurant of Port Washington. But
I think you had just told me about your whole RCHS idea, where it was like the Titanic spoof with our
school. That was a long time ago.
And then Port Washington got brought up in that same conversation.
So. Famous last words.
Yeah, I'll help. It's like, yeah, this sounds like fun.
Whee! And I guess we're probably just going to be mostly negative about it. But, I mean, it's good to have a good idea or an idea that you think will work. You got to tell the idea to people and, like, get them behind it,
yeah,
more, so to speak.
And careful with how big you want to make it, I guess. This is quite the undertaking compared to your other movies.
Right, I mean,
like
I think it's...
Skull, like locations, the amount of computer work that needed to be done, or number of speaking parts was quite
high. Yeah, it was
high.
More difficult than all the other ones that I put together easily. But that one guy, David, talked about doing a movie in a basement. Like a basement
movie.
Which we've talked
about.
That would be the perfect movie. Just film it in a basement.
Don't have to deal with weather or lighting, really, other than just having lights.
The sound, it's going to echo, deal with it, who cares?
Yeah.
I would be up for that.
Yeah.
But I guess there's some things to watch out for.
There'd be no gas-powered little remote control boats.
Oh, maybe you should, tell that
story. When we were
go
in.
For it.
We were actually in Port Washington, which, if nobody knows, is just, like, north of Milwaukee. And there's, like, a little harbor area there and everything. We were filming this scene right along the wharf there, or whatever the heck you want to call it, I don't know. But all these boats are lined up there, and there's some ding-dong on his yacht. And he's got one of these little gas-powered remote-control boat things, and he just keeps going in circles.
Yeah,
and of course it's like right where we're trying to film, and we're doing all this dialogue and stuff. And I had this big ridiculous line.
And the thing is louder than an Xbox 360. It's like ridiculous.
Yes. Difficult to believe, but true. And
it was like a lawnmower on the water, basically.
It kept going for like a half hour.
It's just circles. It was like, what do you think, he's in NASCAR? So we tried to time it when it was farthest away, so we do the lines.
And then this wound up being a lesson learned of independent filmmaking, because what did we wind up doing? We looped the dialogue anyways later on. So we didn't even use what we recorded that day, we just needed the video.
Well, remember the other bad thing that happened with dialogue? Wherever we filmed, we turned off the air conditioning everywhere we went because it was loud.
Yep.
And probably 8 out of 10 times, we ended up looping the dialogue.
Yeah.
So instead of like trying to like get good sounding dialogue, as long as the performance is, you know, pretty good, and you at least hear what they're saying, like get a reference track, just say screw it, record it, and loop it in later.
Yeah.
Save yourself a lot of time, because we probably, we'll get to like the last 10% thing, but we probably wasted at least like 30% of our time with noise related issues and dialogue. But if we would have just said screw it, we'll loop it, would have been able to film a lot faster. Yeah.
And most big Hollywood movies do that anyway. Like, I think I read the Lord of the Rings, they loop like 70% of the dialogue.
I think it's about average. Yeah.
So it's not unheard of or anything. So.
The looping didn't take that long.
I actually enjoyed the looping, so all you had to do was come in, sit down, get a monitor in front of you, and a mic. And you just had to look at it and read your lines.
In my toxic booth.
Yeah. You didn't have to be like, you know, worry about what your outfit is for that scene, or any lug crap around you, sit in, you know, sit down and just do it.
Well, we did have one problem.
Only one?
No, with the looping. One of the sessions I brought beer in, or I was like...
Drunken loop party. You know?
I think it was like Michelle, and She's like, can you bring in some, I don't know what it was. I think actually it was Smirnoff ice. So, you know, I was trying to like, you know, since we don't pay anybody, I was trying to at least, you know, cater to them. Yeah. You know, I'm sure I had one too. Anyway, so it was funny, as she looped her lines kept on getting kind of more discontinuous as we went on. So I had like, you know, like, let's say this is a word, and then this is like the drunken word or the tipsy word. So I had like her dialogue, it was in the scene in the grocery store.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I really had to work to get her, I mean, at least she enjoyed herself, but that was my fault. So after that, there's no more drinking and looping. Don't drink and loop. But yeah, it was fun. Looping at least.
And never underestimate how much of a pain in the ass filming a fight scene will be and how long it'll take to film. Because there's like this whole sequence where Ben fights this guy in a movie theater projection room.
Well, that was my fault for the schedule.
Well, but I mean, you know, I don't think any of us thought it was going to end up taking like 8,
it was like two,
9
yeah,
hours.
It was 2.5 hours on the sheet.
But it's like there's just so many camera setups and all that it just took a long time.
Well, it's amazing everything that can go wrong in a fight scene. I was working on a film down in Illinois, and the lead guy, it was just a really short fight. It started out as a fake fight in the movie, and then goes and becomes a real fight.
Oh.
And it ends with one resounding punch. You know, punches the guy right in the nose, guy falls down. And this kid, the lead in the movie, is the one who throws the punch. He's a black belt, so he's supposed to have absolute, utter control over his body at all times. And he winds up, and we had to film that scene probably a good 20 takes on that, because we could never get the eye lines right. And then finally on the last one, kid winds up, stops paying attention to what he's doing, and actually cracks the guy in the nose, breaks his nose, and we had to send him to the hospital and everything. 2 hours later, he comes back and has, you know, this nose, massive nose with makeup
pink,
all over
pink,
it.
Yeah, pink that out.
Yeah.
But that's the take they got in the movie, probably, right?
Probably. I don't know.
It's always the first or last take.
If you're drawing blood, that's a good sign. So.
That's real. But,
yeah, it's always something. We had a lot of, like, goofy stuff in there, like where you're getting drug across the floor, and so we had to have the camera roll along the floor.
Did we use cardboard? I was, like, on a sheet of cardboard.
Yeah, so we had to have somebody dragging Ben, and then somebody rolling the camera along on some sort of little cart thing they made or whatever. And,
sure, some piece of junk.
Yeah, just little stuff like that.
I think if some people saw the rigs I made for that movie, they'd be disenfranchised with me, because when I build stuff that's like just for a utility purpose, it does not look like this.
No.
It's like a bunch of like 2x4s.
And
yeah.
And some screws. And like suck cam.
Yeah. Suck cam was a camera mount that, I mean, camera mounts are easy. I mean, every camera on Earth has a 1/4-inch threaded machine screw. That's basically how it is. So it's pretty easy. Just go get an iCook, get Ace, and screw it in. So it's easy to make camera mounts, but yeah, suck cam was a camera mount where you could suction cup a camera to the hood of a car to shoot the interior, and then if you wanted, you could attach bungee cords to make it safe. So we were like driving around, we had like this 2500-hour camera, suction cup the hoods of cars, driving around, and
then we had Lawrence Mike running in through the window of the car and like taped down on the dash or whatever, so it would be out of the camera's view, but then we could get all the dialogue. And
if we ever did something like this again, which I'm kind of leaning against, unless it's Basement the Movie, we should have what I think would be cool to have, I would call a Christmas tree. Have like this metal stand with kind of like a helping hand, but the big metal stand with these arms, with lights on the end. Just set it down. Do you remember all the.
And it would make those sounds.
Well, exactly. We just take that off the computer. But we had all those like trouble lamps. Of course, we always used to use trouble lamps. We had the trouble lamps with the potentiometers. But we were always like duct taping lamps to chairs and all sorts of horse crap.
And they'd like tip over.
Ben, I think you can buy those for like $5 at Walmart now. The lamps with the
arms?
Yeah. I've seen them.
This is leading edge technology compared to what we were dealing with.
Yes, this was back in ancient times of 2002. But, yeah, those things I do differently, and obviously I'd probably want to do it HD, but probably not HDV.
That's one thing you realize, too, making an independent film, is how much ingenuity you have to have. It's, I swear it was almost every weekend we were filming something, Ben had to show up with some sort of device for some shot we needed, and you were always having to cook up, you know, different stuff like suck cam, and there was
suck cam, sand cam, low angle cam.
Yeah, and then there was the. I remember we didn't even end up using
the, oh, the jet ski
way for the jet ski thing. You made some big ridiculous ramp.
I made a camera that rolled. Oh, how was that? The part where I'm on the jet ski and it goes over the camera, it's a special effect, obviously. But I was sitting on a like a cooler, like an ice chest.
Yeah.
And that was going to be like where the, that was the placeholder for the jet ski. And to go over the camera, behind me we had, like in a factory, that the, that plastic rollers that you push crates around on. It's like, I don't know what it's called. It's like called Roller Track. I got it at Delaney's. It's a cool place. Anyway, I made like this thing like this. It was behind me. It was a roller track, and the camera was attached to that. And what you do is you let the camera go, and it would like roll down like this. So if you reverse the footage, it's like going over the camera. So if that makes sense. Because once the camera gets all the way down here, I'm out of its field of view. So as the camera pulls back, it's like I'm going forward. So you drop, you let it slide down, and then you reverse the footage. But I don't think we actually used the whole motion.
Yeah,
but of course, we spent hours doing that.
Remember, we messed around out in the driveway for quite a while.
Remember,
that was the same day we tortured Carol and Mr. Chief. It was like some green screen shot.
Yeah, we did, we had to do an insert.
Yeah, and so she actually had to kneel down on this like blacktop driveway because she had to kneel in the scene for whatever reason. And she couldn't even give her a blanket to kneel on or anything.
That's how low budget it was. Oh, yeah. That was. Those
you have to torture your health too, I guess, at times. But,
oh, I deliberately try to torture people when we do that.
Oh, it is filmmaking is pain, so.
Well, I think they should experience some of the pain that the above the liners experience. You know, the people that have to figure out all the logistics. But I mean, I think it's an interesting challenge working on film, but trying to figure out this stuff. It's a pain in the butt, but.
Yeah.
Well, like that part with the mouse, you know, that's like a reverse shot. I figured that out.
Well, that's right, because I had to pick a mouse up out of this, like,
box,
cigar box, yeah, or whatever the heck it was, yeah. And of course, you can't just reach in and grab a mouse, so we did it where I started the scene
holding the mouse.
Tail, and
yeah.
Then, like,
well, no, you had to, like,
set
this.
It down.
Yeah,
and then I had it up here, and then I set it down.
So then reverse.
So reverse it to make it look like I was pulling it.
Reverse footage, you could do a lot with it.
Yeah.
And that's, do we have to do other reverse footage shots in that movie?
I wouldn't be surprised, but. Recall for sure. There's all sorts of tricks like that you can do though to play around things.
Definitely reversing the footage. I mean, if you ever try stuff, think about if you reverse the footage because you can do things with it. It's kind of like a low tech trick. It's kind of like a Sam Raimi thing, you know, where eyeballs are coming out of people's mouths and stuff.
Well, it's like they did in the first Star Wars movie where the sand people do whatever's over him, like holding up.
Oh, they're just rocking
the footage. They rock
the footage
back and forth to get that. Originally, it was just him doing it like once, and they wanted to do it a bunch of times. So they just took the footage and kept going forwards and backwards to get that. All sorts of cheats.
And I guess we're going out of time here, so I'll leave you a little bit for questions. But basically, the last 10% of any independent film project will take about 75% of the time.
And so, what was the production time on Port Washington?
We filmed like 80% of the movie. In the 3 months of summer 2002, but probably because we wasted so much time like trying to get good dialogue takes, and then everyone's like, "Oh, I'm too tired to film on Sunday." That was a big one.
Yeah.
So the scenes that were left over, at the end of the summer, we got a lot of them in the fall. Some of them in 2003, but it definitely hurt us.
Oh, and the post production took a lot of time too.
Yeah, it was just
we had a lot of trouble finding people to do the music for it.
That was like a year alone.
And then you wound up doing like, what, probably 85%?
Nah, about like 75.
But, so you wound up having to do that on top of all the computer work for the...
Well, by that time it was done. I just had to do the music.
Yeah.
But, so then, I guess have a gaggle of people that can help and make sure they're committed.
That are really committed,
and then you'll be committed. Afterwards.
Because everybody wants to be in a movie until they have to show up and be in it. It's kind of what we found out with kids.
Definitely.
Because we had that one day where we were filming in the Irish pub here in Madison, and we had like probably 10 to 15 people say, oh yeah, we can show up to be extras.
Wasn't it a Sunday morning? That probably didn't help.
That probably didn't help, yeah. But all these people were like, oh yeah, we'll be there. Not a single person showed up and said they were going to be there. We needed to absolutely have one of them, because there had to be this part where this woman walks up to a bar. So luckily my wife was there, and she actually had to go down the street into a Gap and like look for people, and she found this girl that was there shopping for clothes or whatever with her mom, and she was like, you know, hey, you want to be in a movie or whatever? And the girl was like, well, sure, if mom says it's okay. And her mom was like, yep, you can do that. And so her mom came along, she came in, shot the scene, and that was that. But
that is independent filmmaking.
Yeah, and that's again, how it goes.
Well, I think, you know, it's my fault. We had like 42 speaking parts in it, which is a lot.
Yeah. That's pretty insane. So
we had like 42 speaking parts, like 57 locations.
Yeah, the locations is a big thing too. So it's having to get all the permission and, you know, block out times. We shot in like grocery stores and movie theaters, and all the places are very accommodating. It probably helped that we mainly filmed in a small town too.
Mm-hmm. So when we filmed in the movie theater, we've eaten into the time they had to like show Bad Company, that Chris Rock, Anthony Hopkins, go figure movie. Nice combo. And they actually like didn't have a showing so we could like keep filming or something. Because I'm sure so many people would have showed up for it.
Yeah, they actually wound up not showing it twice.
Yes!
Because it ran so long. So we spared some people from seeing that movie.
So now if anyone has any questions about anything that we do on our podcast or filmmaking, feel free and we'll close up with that.
I'm curious what the outcome of that movie is. Like, did you guys release it?
Or? Oh, yes! Well, we were going to talk about that. Everyone's like, why don't you... The problem I have is I have to do so much stuff to make a movie, I just don't care afterwards. So everyone's like, well, why don't you do this or produce it? I'm like, why don't you do it for me? I know that sounds terrible, but I just... We need someone that's like more of a self-promoter than I am. So we never really went anywhere with it. By the time it was done, I just wanted to finish it.
So there's already money under the bridge. Well, part of it too was we had a couple of songs we used in it that we...
And Dale was supposed to try to get them released, but
never did. So there's another thing
we
that would hold it up.
You have to cut that part out.
I will leave it in. He's not going to watch it.
It'll be fine.
The ironic thing that we're talking about before everyone arrived is... we will be done here in a second.
It's okay.
We spent... total collective of 4 years working on that one, and other movies have taken a long time too. But Lizard of Death is a 1950s horror movie emulation that we did. That's actually my favorite movie that I've done. It took us 11 months. I mean, it's a lot of time. So one afternoon, our last video podcast, we did this intro where Jones is like an Xbox fanboy. He runs over a Wii, and then I'm in my basement, and I go to leave, and we have Dale, our friend Dale there, acting like one of my fanboys with Nintendo 64 motherboards. And he's like, you made these portable? And then I get all mad, and then we have the God of War music, and we put the icons on the screen, and I'm like killing him like God of War, and there's like fake 300 blood, and then I rip him in half. And I say, no. Anyway, it took us like half an hour to film that.
Yeah.
So that goes on Spike TV when I have a segment. But you spend 4 years making a movie, nobody cares. So things like that discourage a person, I guess. The irony. Or like I can spend a month making a portable and be in Popular Science and make a movie, no one cares. So I don't know. I guess I should just stick to what makes money. That's why I'm disenfranchised about doing another one. And if I do, it'd be like in a basement or something.
Well, that kind of leads me into a question. You talk about the shorts, short viral videos and all that. As a filmmaker, how does the success of viral videos and all that make you feel? And the general success of viral videos and YouTube versus genuine independent filmmaking?
Well, I guess the thing I'd say is that's probably the way to go. I mean, if I was a real purist, I would say, oh, it's terrible, but, you know, in reality, it's all about exposure and making money, and I don't think the viral videos probably make money, or maybe they do, but that's...
They get people noticed, though.
Right.
Like, I was reading something in Entertainment Weekly, there was some guy who made this video, like, him crying about how Britney Spears isn't getting a fair shake or something like that, and he wound up in Entertainment Weekly, and it's getting watched, like, all the time on YouTube, and he's, like, trying to get involved in some TV show or something now and all that, but it's, like, just because he filmed himself crying over Britney Spears not getting any love or whatever, he's, you know...
Well, she's single now, he can get in there if he wants. You can give her some love.
But it's, you know, stuff like that happens.
Get a trailer.
And like here too, you know, there's the Chad Vader thing.
Oh, I've heard of that guy, yeah.
He was here. Sounds pretty cool, yeah. But they just do like a bunch of shorts, right? And then it's kind of like a serialized thing.
I think it has to do with like attention spans, you know? In this fast-paced world, people, you know, watch a five-minute video, but they want to invest an hour and a half.
Well, it's all about, you know, it's like sound bites. It's the same thing, you know, everything comes to us very quickly. You know, entertainment's very rapidly digested, it seems like.
It's like that very popular Robot Chicken show. I mean, it's a full sketch and it's like 20 seconds long, but it's popular because it's like, here it is.
And it's interesting that all that stuff seems to be getting shorter and people love to consume it, but at the same time, like, Hollywood movies keep getting longer. It's like the strange paradox where all their movies are like going more towards 3 hours
and less. And then they wonder why, you know, they sell less tickets every year, even though they keep raising the price.
Yeah, so they still make money.
Right. So the profit doesn't go down, but or the gross doesn't go down, but
attendance does. But
right. So, but no, I think that's the way things are kind of going. But I think it's cool because the internet lets people get that stuff out there.
It's kind of like us with the podcast too. Really, you know, it's on a different level. It's not video, you know, but we except for this one.
It's an easy thing to crank out and throw out there, and people will see it.
And people can easily subscribe to it and listen to it. And you get an audience, and you don't have to have a huge financial commitment to be able to do that stuff, which is really cool. So,
yep.
There's a lot of people out there that are doing really cool stuff, so that might not otherwise have that opportunity. So.
The internet's how I did all my stuff.
Yeah.
Anything else? We probably should wrap this up.
Is there a place where we can see Port Washington?
Yeah, you can download it off my site, an iPod video, but. My site gets bandwidth slammed enough as it is, so that's the best I can do as far as size. It's not a BitTorrent site. I don't even know how to work BitTorrent. Don't tell anyone. It's not me, but
you're a hardware guy, not the software. So.
Yeah, Hacksaw Rob.
Download it wrong.
Yeah,
and
so
we get to do the intros for the podcast, which is kind of our little creative outlet, I guess, that we get to have every couple of weeks.
That's fun.
So we come up with some sort of bogus intro that kind of spoofs something about pop culture. Like
right.
We made like Mario Squad, where Mario is like on this police squad, like hunting down.
And he always gets kicked off the course.
Yeah.
Of course, every time.
And some, you know, each of us get to do voices for that. And
that's always well. Here, why don't you do your impression of the police chief in Mario Squad?
Oh, let's see, which one would be a good line?
The only line. Like, you know, like, that's a fifth squad car.
Oh, that's right. It's like, that's the fifth squad car you wrecked this week!
I'm going so to clean up the crime! Even though Dale is all
yeah. Yeah, everything's got to be like, I'm a... and all that.
I'm a dead! Yeah. I like, well, I was happy with the one where even Kate had a black plumbing outfit.
Yeah, so he was like
it's
the...
so stupid.
Yeah, the symbiote suit for Mario.
some unused intros we... I've started writing, but I haven't finished. We had Oregon Trail, the movie, and Will Smith, and Kevin Kline, and
J-Lo as Sacagawea.
Sacagawea obviously goes on the Oregon Trail with all the settlers.
Well, then you're going to have your Will Smith Legend of Zelda.
Oh, that's what I really wanted to do. And
then we did the video Pirates of the Caribbean one.
I'd still like to do that.
Where it's all about people just downloading crap off the internet and
top side
getting busted.
I
want
to do.
That one, there's all sorts of fodder for that one.
So, and then the big, you know, we're trying to figure out the Christmas special intro, and it's either going to be Michael Bay's Jesus story, or Mel
Gibson's Nativity story.
Basically like a Hollywood version of like the Birth of Christ, you know, like action, King Herod, and, you know, kind of like one of those movies like, follow that star! Either that or It's a Wonderful Half-Life, which I kind of like. Because Mary can become a webcam whore. It's like, she's a webcam whore, George! No! I think I'm going to push that one.
There you go. But then you got to play Half-Life, so you know what you're talking about.
Ah, screw it. It's just another online game.
Orange Box!
That's right.
$40 next week.
I'm going to have 20 extra dollars.
I get achievements though.
So. No! I know you get those Bioshock achievements, and I'm just there, like, pulsing.
He's like
back.
All jealous.
Yeah,
at least I did it in real HD.
Ish.
Okay, anything else? We probably should abandon this room soon.
Much like the Titanic.
Yep. Okay, well, thanks for coming and listening.
Yeah.